Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
I'm Dr. McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Well, we are in the dog days of summer, and we're just a few weeks away from fall finally arriving. I hope everybody had a great summer and spent time outdoors, swimming, playing, and letting go of your concerns. Fall is sort of like a new beginning. It's when school starts and when we used to get so excited about what the year would bring. I hope it brings you joy and happiness and aids you in evolving into who you're supposed to be. Maybe today's show will aid you in your evolution. Our inspiration segment is going to highlight why it's important to act like a child. And our spiritual homework segment is going to focus on using your imagination in a way that it's supposed to be used. Not to create worries or fears. Some of this I've talked about in the past. But the excitement level of using your imagination is a new angle. And excitement is the quickest way to allow the good things to flow to you. First, we're going to be speaking with Corey Poirier. I hope I did not butcher his name. He is a multiple-time TEDx speaker, Success Magazine Emerging Entrepreneur, and a Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author. He is also the host of top-rated Let's Do Influencing radio show, a columnist with Entrepreneur and Forbes magazine, and is a Forbes Coach Council member, and is one of the few members who has been featured twice on the popular Entrepreneur on Fire show. He also interviewed over 7,500 of the world's top leaders and spoken on-site at events at Hartford, Stanford, Columbia, UCLA, MIT, and Oxford. He's also, which kind of interests me, has performed stand-up comedy more than 700 times, including an appearance at famed Second City. His current book is The Enlightened Passenger, The Flight That Changed Everything. Welcome, Corey.
Wow, well, thank you so much. So great to be welcomed and such a lovely welcome as well.
Well, I'm going to start the way I always start every interview. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
So I was born in a little place called Prince Edward Island. It's a tiny little island in the east of Canada, in eastern Canada, near Nova Scotia. And I guess ultimately I dreamed of growing up to be a rock star.
Oh, okay. Did you pursue it as a young man?
I did, actually, and depending on how loosely we use the term rock star, I actually, in a lot of ways, achieved it as well. I did release 4 CDs. I played music in clubs. I did a summer tour. I had a video out. So I did pursue it, but at some point I realized that it gave me a lot of what I wanted, but it was a really, really, really hard way to make a living, and I ultimately found other things that allowed me to get as much as I wanted from it, emotionally and from a fulfillment point of view without having to basically starve as an artist.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I used to be a performer myself, an actor, a producer, a director back in New York, and I love those days. So I think it's good you followed your rock star dreams and you lived it for a while. I think I think everyone should follow their dreams, even if they think they will not do it for their entire life, because I think it's good to follow your dreams. All right. So you were born in Prince Edward Island.
Yep.
What were your parents like?
Well, my mother, it was, I guess I'll call her the rock in my life. My father lived nearby, and they were together till I was about 9, and it wasn't like he was far away, but he definitely, like I say, was nearby, usually within about 15 minutes from where I was at any given time, but he honestly wasn't a really big part of my life. I would see him, like, at the beginning I seen him regularly, but eventually it became like once every blue moon. Like, I probably would see him, you know, maybe around town, once every 6 months or once every second year or something. And now years ago, I moved back home to the same place where I grew up, and he still lives there about 15 minutes away, and I still only see him once every couple of years. So
well, how did
I wasn't
that impact
really
you as a kid?
Honestly, this is going to sound strange, because I know the answer should be yes, and I know for most people they would say that would definitely be a yes. For me, it didn't impact me the way that I think it probably would have other people. I think because my mother gave me, you know, as much as he could have probably on his own, and I don't mean money-wise, I just mean, like, you know, she was there for me, she inspired me. Because my mother was so there, I don't feel I missed it a whole lot, and I honestly, it took a little while, but eventually I realized him not being in my life actually allowed me to become who I was and who I am now. And so I don't have, this is going to sound strange, I don't have any resentment towards him at all.
Well, that's been, so what great gift did your mother give you, if you had to pick one thing that she gave you that helped you move forward?
You know what, I think when I look at, I do a lot of interviews with high achievers, and you can't discount sometimes the impact of having a supportive parent. And my mother really, this is the way I kind of explain it, but she did a lot of stuff, like she kind of, once I hit 16, she's like, you're on your own, even though I was living at home, and she covered my meals and stuff. She's kind of like, you know, you can buy your own clothes now and everything. So she made me grow up quick. But the one thing she gave me is she supported me. So if I said, I want to be a rock star, like we just said, she didn't say, well, that's not practical. She didn't tell me not to do it. She didn't tell me to give up on that dream or I couldn't achieve
that's
that.
Fantastic.
And I think that's a really big one.
I think it's important for parents to stand behind their kids' dreams, even if they want to roll their eyes and make funny faces. My parents stood behind my dreams. And, of course, they did say, do you have a backup? I said, my backup, I don't have a backup. Leave me alone. Because I was, you know, I was a young kid. But so your mother really stood in your corner and backed anything you did. So you became a rock star for a while, and then eventually that dissipated. Because you chose to let it dissipate. You lived that life, and you saw what it was like. What did you do next?
I guess the rock star thing I was doing kind of on the side of doing other things. So one of the other things I was doing on the side is I was performing stand-up comedy. I also worked in sales for about 10 years. Like, while I was doing the music and then even during comedy, lack of a better way of saying it or a sexier way, I sold photocopiers door to door. You know, so I would go out to people and try to convince them why they needed to replace the yellow photocopier with a white one. And I don't recommend it for anybody. It's not an easy thing to do. But that's what I did. I sold photocopiers, so like the Xerox machines or Canon. And I, at the same time, was playing music in clubs and then also performing stand-up comedy in clubs. And then I...
How did you get into comedy? Let me ask you that. What drew you to do comedy? And stand-up, that's a hard road. How did you get into doing stand-up comedy?
Well, I often say I got tricked into it, which I know sounds almost illogical or impossible in some ways. How do you get tricked into it? But I actually had a stage play that I wrote in a festival, and I never wanted to be on the stage or in front of an audience. And one of the actors hurt his right ankle. And he needed more time to change his costumes, you know, for costume changes. And so I had to write some extra parts, but they were all full. Like, all the five actors couldn't take any more parts. So I was the only other person that knew the line, but I had to write two parts to buy him time for costume changes. And that put me on the stage, which I didn't want to be on. So I asked one of the actors how he thought I could get over it. And he said, I don't know if this is the answer, but he said, I'm going to do a stand-up comedy workshop at the local university. And he said, do you want to join me? And I said, that sounds horrible. And then I said, yeah, sure, let's do it. Because I figured I'll at least learn how to write a little better, and I didn't think I'd ever get on a stage. But we went to 2 weeks of a stand-up comedy workshop, and then the third week, the guy basically got us to fill a nightclub, a bar, with an audience for the stand-up show that was going to happen. And he told us we'd be watching comics, and then we would do a clinic on what we learned from them, and we only found out shortly after that that we were actually the comics.
Oh, wow. So you had to get on stage and actually do your comedy routine. And how did that go?
Not as good as I would have liked, I guess. basically, I always say that I get up on that stage and I told basically what I thought was the best joke. So he didn't tell us, we didn't have any notice, so he didn't tell us to prepare material. So I got up on the stage and I told what I thought might be the best joke that I had in my arsenal, and it got no laughter. I told a second joke, got less laughter, and then basically he called me over the corner stage and he gave me a hit in the back of the head. He said, "You idiot, we haven't even turned the mic on yet to start the show." And so that was how I get started. It was not good. So it didn't go good, and I'm surprised I went back the next week, but I did.
Well, you did it, and you did it for 700 times, so obviously you got quite good at it, and hopefully the mic was always on when you did it. All right, so we know, okay, you've had a quite, you've been a salesman, a comedian, a stand-up comedian, you've been a rock star. Obviously you have this energy in you. Were you raised religiously or spiritually? I have that question because I read your book.
Yeah, I mean, so the answer is no. The short answer is, I mean, when I was growing up, it was like if there was a funeral or if there was a wedding, we were probably going to be out of church. Other than that, we weren't going to be out of church. Like, that's as quick and simple as I can say it. Like, you know, my family was raised, I'm going to say, with religion kind of as a background. And, you know, it wasn't like a don't believe or any of these things. It was just like, well, I went to catechism. I don't know if everybody listening would know what that is, but I went to catechism for like 6 years, and so I was raised to some small degree in Catholic religion, but I wasn't really like, it wasn't really like, let's go on Sunday. Like, I don't think we ever went on a Sunday if it wasn't a holiday, wedding, or a funeral. But at the same time, not that my mother raised me that way, but my mother did take me to things like tea leaf readings and tarot card readings and stuff like that when I was a kid. And, you know, she would go and get my future read and all that. But she also didn't really talk about it a lot. So, again, the short answer is I wasn't really raised either way, but it was kind of always there as an ever-present. But I often say these days I was I'm a recovering now spiritual skeptic. So I was totally, totally, like, I thought spirituality was, like, weird science or witchcraft. I didn't know what to think.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely wasn't raised with any spirituality, and the religion, like I said, was always on the back burner, but nobody ever kind of talked about it, and it wasn't like, we're going to go this Sunday.
Well, that makes sense. But you did do catechism. I actually went and did catechism with my Episcopal friend. The priest let me sit in there, and I took the test with her, even though I was a Episcopalian. But that's just, I was willing to go. But anyway, all right, so you obviously became a bit more spiritual as you grew up. So you wrote your book. First of all, why did you title the book The Enlightened Passenger?
So, interestingly, a lot of the stuff with the book came together kind of, I'm going to say organically, I feel like is the best word. But, I decided to write the book based on a question I was asking in interviews all the time. And I just said, what if this question was a story? And so there was a lot of just, it felt right. But the book title, it felt right, but it was very intentional as well. So The Enlightened Passenger, I knew the story I wanted to take place on a plane because I fly so much. I knew I wanted it to be, passengers on a plane. I knew all those things, so that part of the title made sense. But I also wanted it to be ambiguous as you're reading it when you start really reflecting on the fact that you're not told who the enlightened passenger is. And so it's like two strangers on a plane. One's a young, kind of arrogant business person who's not into self-help. The other guy's an older, kind of wiser, like Wayne Dyer, described that way, Wayne Dyer-esque guy, who's like enlightened, a little more enlightened, and had this big journey. And so the question could become, is the younger guy the enlightened passenger because he's become enlightened on the flight? Or is the older guy the enlightened passenger because he's a passenger and he's already more enlightened? Or are you the reader, enlightened passenger, because you're on this journey on the flight? Again, I could go one step further. Or when, if you bring the book to somebody else, are you the enlightened passenger because you brought them the book? And so it was meant to be ambiguous, like where there's no answer to the, who is the actual enlightened passenger. So that's kind of, it was a double play. Like on one hand, like I said, it made sense because it's two passengers on a plane and it's a bit, the book story is about becoming more enlightened, but it's also meant so that we don't actually answer the question and literally say, and that was the enlightened passenger or he was the enlightened passenger. I don't actually want somebody to know what the actual answer is to that.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I did, when I read it, I felt it was kind of, I won't say in the same genre, but sort of like Celestine Prophecy. It was sort of in that genre in the sense that they're on a trip, some things are being shared, so it really resonated with me. I enjoyed reading it greatly. All right, so you wrote The Enlightened Passenger, The Flight That Changed Everything. Let me start with this. You talk about it's important for everyone to write a personal mission statement. Can you explain a little bit why that's important?
Yeah, and I think how it came to me, like the idea that we should each have one, is probably a good part of the story as well in that. And where it came to me is I was sitting in a company's lobby, and they had this really great mission statement. It was really short, and I was reading it as I was sitting there, and it just occurred to me out of nowhere, like, how wild is it that all, not all, but most companies have a mission statement. All the companies that we see that are growing and growing and growing, and we hear their name all the time, all have a mission statement. A lot of their employees know the mission statement, or they at least know what to do that actually serves the mission statement. And yet, as individuals, almost none of us do. And I thought, like, we think companies are important. We think the CEOs of companies are important. Well, if we look at our body like a temple or a company, we're the CEO of it, and yet we don't have our own mission statement. And so it just kind of occurred to me that maybe if I had a mission statement that started with me, then I would be more aligned with what to say yes to, what to say no to, what direction I should go in, what is the right decision here, what's the wrong decision. And that ended up being what happened. But the reason I think it's important is because it reminds us every day why we're doing what we're doing, why we're here. And so I created mine. It's actually to be the guy who motivates, donates, educates, entertains, and inspires. That's my kind of 5-point test or parallel.
Say that one more time.
Yeah, so it's the guy who motivates, donates, educates, entertains, or inspires. And not even in that particular order. It just kind of was written down one way. But they're all five equal to me. And basically what that allows me to do is if somebody asks me to do something, I can look and say, is it going to serve that? If somebody asks me to make a decision, well, is it going to do that? Like, so it could even be a decision of if somebody wants you to do something that's not truthful. Well, I can look and say, if I look at those five things, if I do this, is it going to motivate? Is it going to be giving back? Is it going to... And the answer is going to be no. So it's an easy no without regret. So I think us having a personal mission statement just keeps us grounded and keeps us moving forward with an actual destination versus that, like that person driving in a city without a GPS and not even knowing where they want to go.
Exactly, exactly right. Well, you just mentioned the word no. What is the power of no? And why is it so important for us to understand the power of no?
Well, where this came, for me, where the power of no came from, is when I was younger, grew up in a small town, I was always told kind of to say yes to everything and then figure out how to do it later. And I grew up, you know, kind of serving many masters and always people-pleasing, and I thought that was the right thing to do, and I even thought to be successful is the right thing to do. But then I started interviewing all these thought leaders, and I noticed that the first word out of their mouths is usually no. Like, they're usually saying no more than yes. And I'm like, this is so fascinating. Like, I'm saying yes to everything, but yet when I try to get an interview with, insert name here, Tony Robbins, I might get 100 no's from his staff if I tried to go up the whole chain. And so, yeah, these influencers have to say no over and over, and they only say yes to the things that'll move them in the right direction and move the needle. And here I'm saying yes to everything and then being stressed out because I'm taking on too much, not knowing how I'm going to juggle it all, being overwhelmed. And it just occurred to me that I need to change that up. I need to start finding out what a real no is and what a yes is. And I have to start practicing this muscle, you know, working on my muscle of saying no. And so what I did was I actually started saying no at first to the people that were sending me the spam messages or solicitation messages. I started with them because normally I would just ignore it. But I say, you know what? No, I'm going to say no, because that'll be easier to say no to somebody I don't know who's spamming me than it would be to a friend who wants me to move their couch. And so that's kind of how I started, was just saying no to the easy no's and built my way up from there. But once I realized that the high achievers, the people impacting those lives, are saying no 20 to 50 times more a day than everybody else, I just knew I had to start working on that muscle.
But, you know, I think you said something. You used to be a people pleaser. Well, I think a lot of us are raised, especially women in general, are raised to be people pleasers. I think no is a very powerful word that we should all use more of. We've been speaking with Corey Perot. Did I say that kind of correctly?
That one was kind of correctly. The first one was dead on. I say Poirier, but that doesn't mean I say it right.
Corey Perot, who wrote The Enlightened Passenger. And we're going to talk more about his book when we come back from this commercial. You have been listening to Geoffrey McClung on HealthyLife.net on Spiritual Common Sense.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Geoffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Geoffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Geoffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Geoffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Geoffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Geoffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Geoffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Welcome back to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Geoffrey McClung. We are speaking with Corey Poirier, who's written a book, The Enlightened Passenger, The Flight That Changed Everything. We just finished talking about the power of no. How do you say no without burning bridges and losing friends, though?
No, I learned this. I was, you could probably pick this up by me, but I always like giving credit to where I learned it and the person I learned it versus me acting like this was a learned wisdom on my part. But I was interviewing a lady named Shailene Johnson, who had a program called Turbo Jam back in the day on Beachbody. And Shailene was just juggling so much at the time. Like, she had 600 classes, I think it was, where that were teaching Turbo Jam all across North America. But the ones that were closest to her, she said the instructors would call her on an almost daily basis, asking if she could fill in for them because she lived so close. And she realized she couldn't keep doing it if she wanted to grow the business. So she said what she tried to start doing was, because they knew that it was a family-run business and her husband and kids were a big part of her life, She said she literally started saying to them, you know, I'd love to help, but I need to check with Brett to make sure we don't have anything planned with the family. Can I get back to you in a couple of days? And she said, and then she would get back to them in a couple of days, and lo and behold, a lot of them, they already figured it out themselves by the time she got back to them. But what she discovered is by saying that she, oh, and she said when she got back to them, if she couldn't help them, she'd try to find somebody who could. So what she found is by saying that she needed to check with Brett, it was hard to get mad because she was saying, I want to make sure that I'm not double booking and I'm not going against the family plans. And then at the same time, by her saying, I'll help you if I can't, it was hard for them to get mad at her. But most people can't wait 2 days, meaning like they're too focused on getting their solution. So she said in the interim, they weren't mad at her, but they would just go find a different solution. And then if she did have to help, she could decide. It gave her the 2 days to kind of sit and say, like, my example, is it fit with her mission statement? And so that's what I started doing. I would start explaining to people, you know what, I'd love to help. Let me see if I can. However, and now in this case, I would say, which is true, that, you know, I have two young kids. We try to be as active as parents as we can be. Let me just double check to make sure we don't already have something planned. Can I circle back in a day or two? And that's what
that's
I do.
Very
and
smart.
It doesn't seem to burn many bridges, but it's still not easy to do. It's what I would say.
No, I know, but it's very smart because you're taking the pressure off yourself. At the same time, you're not being terribly unkind to the people. I think that's very, very smart. Well, let's move forward a little bit. You talk about, you say to work on your 1%. What do you mean by working on your 1% versus your 100%?
Yeah, and I will say something important to note there is 1% could be different for different people. If you're starting to work in some, whatever it is, some profession, some craft, what have you, your 1% could be bigger than whenever you've mastered it. So I'll explain what I mean by that, but I think it's important because I don't want people to just focus on thinking it's exactly 1%. But where this idea came from is I was interviewing an elite skating coach who was actually just finished training Sidney Crosby to get back from an injury. And I asked him, I said, how can you teach Sidney Crosby? You know, somebody who's doing 99% of it better than everybody else. How can you teach Sidney Crosby anything? Like, how can you teach him something new? You know, I wasn't saying it, but thinking also, like, he's in the NHL at the highest level. You're an elite skating coach, but not in the NHL. Like, how could you teach him something new? And he said, Corey, that's the catch. We're not trying to teach him anything within the 99% of what he's doing well. We're only trying to teach him something within the 1%. So we're only trying to help him. And what he said was like a tenth of that 1%. He said, if we can figure out on the skating side how he could skate just a little faster or do something a little better, that could be the difference of a goal a game for the rest of his career. And I thought there was a couple of fascinating things there. First of all, by this point, Sidney Crosby was worth millions of dollars, didn't even have to come back to hockey, but yet he was still working not only to get back, but still trying to improve on the 1%, even comparing to what he was at before he got injured. Like, even if he was at 99% before he got injured, he was still trying to figure out what that 1% is. And so it started getting me to think about the fact that we can all work on our 1%. Now, again, this kind of tells you more why I say your 1% might be bigger than Sidney Crosby's 1% in hockey. But we can all work on our 1%. I just called it the 1% because for most people it's the smaller area, but it's the small little things you can do within that area that can change everything for you. And so really, at the end of the day, challenge everybody to focus on what is your 1% and how can I get better at it. And a way to do that is to just reach out to people in a circle that you have, a mastermind, social media, your family, friends, and just ask, hey, what are some areas you think I could improve on?
That's a very, very smart thing to say. What can I improve on? I think we all need to improve in different areas. Now, you talk about 10 lessons in your book that you learned from the Enlightened Passenger. If you had to choose one that impacted you greater than any other one, which one would it be, Corey?
Well, I'll say the non-sexy answer would probably be the power of no, or the synchronicity decide, because that changed my whole life. And, you know, as you mentioned, Celestine Prophecy earlier, I mean, James was one of the authors that kind of made the term synchronicity sort of famous in a lot of ways. But synchronicity definitely had a big impact in my life, the power of no. But the one that popped into my head, and it's kind of the most recent one in a lot of ways, is a chapter I titled called The Mayfly. And it's what I learned from this little fly that I didn't know really existed. I knew the name and that was it years ago. But I was watching an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. The older brother, Robert, or I think he's the older brother, made the comment about the mayfly and how short their life was. And so I went and did some research on it. And the book was already written at this point, and I ended up naming a chapter after it and incorporated it into the book. But basically, I went and did some research, and I found that the female mayfly only lives 3 to 5 minutes. her whole purpose is to have other mayflies. But the male mayfly lives only 24 hours. And I thought that was fascinating. And it got me thinking about, if we were the mayfly, how would we live our life? So in the book, the older, wiser character asked the younger one, what would you do if you only had 24 hours? And then the younger guy lists all the things, and then the old guy says, well, my question is, then why aren't you doing that now? And I think it's a good reflective moment. So mayfly, though, what you can take from it is, what does the perfect day for me look like? Write that down, and then make sure you're doing some of that every single day. Even if it's on the side, it's not related to your work. But just the idea of living like the mayfly, I guess, a big, big moment for me, a wake-up moment of, to make sure I'm living the right way as well.
Well, and like I would say, following your excitement is one of the ways that you can live like a mayfly. Mayfly, you only have one day. What are you going to do? What's going to bring you great joy and happiness? That's kind of my area, what I'm studying right now. But all right, so we've been speaking with Corey, who wrote the book, The Enlightened Passenger. Corey, where can people follow you, find out what you're writing, what you're doing? Where can they follow you?
So what I would say is, if people want to get the book, I'll give one website for the book, because that's the easy answer. So this book we've been talking about, there's a website which is thisisthebook.com. So thisisthebook.com. If a person goes there right now, the bonuses we were supposed to remove, we still haven't, so you can still get in on it, because I've been lazy and purposely, like, wanting people to still get some bonuses. But even after we remove them eventually, we're still going to leave a couple of bonuses. And the great part about that is, when you go there, you can actually go to the websites to order the book, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, what have you. You don't have to, you're not ordering it from us. You're still getting to go to those places. It's just you put the order number in, and you can get some cool bonuses. So thisisthebook.com. And then if people want to follow me and learn more about what I'm doing, probably the best place is CoreyPoirierMedia.com. So again, CoreyPoirierMedia.com. Or feel free to reach out to me. I don't do this often, but you can reach out via email at Corey, which is C-O-R-E-Y, at blue, which is B-L-U, so the color blue without the E, talks, like TED Talks, so talks with an S on the end, .com. So Corey at bluetalks.com. Feel free to send me a message. Let me know you heard me on the show, and I would love to connect with you.
Well, that's fantastic. Corey, you have been quite delightful. I think everyone should read this book. It's an easy read. It's a fun read, and you can get some good information. Thanks a lot, Corey, and have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Geoffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Geoffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Geoffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Geoffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Geoffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Geoffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Geoffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This inspires me. We all need to be inspired to go beyond what we've known, to do what we've longed to do, but we're afraid to do it. To remember that life is to be a great adventure and not to let worries or fears make it simply mundane. My hope is this segment will encourage you, move you, and enthuse you to also become an inspiration for others. This month's inspiration is acting like a child. Now, I'm not saying acting like a child by behaving badly, impulsively, having tantrums, yelling, shouting, or being immature. What I mean by acting like a child is living in your excitement. Now, everyone knows that I've been working on my power, and the path I'm following is determined by following my highest excitement, which is exactly what I did as a kid, and even a few times in my adulthood. Day to day, I acted on what excited me, and it kept my life full of joy and happiness. Unfortunately, as adults, we stopped acting on our excitement. I think it has to do with more stress in our lives and what we feel like we must do to survive, and maybe even try to thrive. But I have a firm belief that the universe is on my side, and that we're here to discover who we are and to create joyful, happy lives, if we so choose. Because I believe the universe is on our side, it will create our negative beliefs or it will create our positive beliefs. In other words, its answer is always yes, which is why I stressed the importance of changing your negative beliefs, becoming more loving, expansive beliefs. It's all up to us. As I've been listening to Bashar on YouTube, he's reminded me of the importance of following our excitement. He even stresses that is how we are guided to our most elegant path, is by following our excitement. And this is where today's inspiration comes in, acting like a child. In other words, following your excitement and joy. Here's a short story, yes, I love my short stories, that highlights the difference between an adult and a child. On a warm summer day at a beautiful beach, a little boy on his knees scoops and packs the sand with plastic shovels into his bucket. He opens the bucket on the surface and lifts it, and to the delight of a little architect, a castle tower is created. He works all afternoon spooning out the moat, packing the walls, building sentries with bottle tops and bridges with popsicle sticks. Finally, with his hours of hard work on the beach, a sandcastle was made. Now, in the big city, with busy streets and rumbling traffic, a man works in the office. He shuffles papers into stacks, delegates assignments, cradles the phone on his shoulder, and punches the keyboard with his fingers. He juggles numbers, gets contracts signed, and much to the delight of the man, a profit is made. All of his life, he will work. He will formulate plans and forecast the future. An empire will be built. Now, the two builders have very much in common. They both make something beautiful out of nothing. They both are very diligent and determined to build their world. And for both, the tide will rise, and the end will come. Yet that is where the similarity ceased. The little boy sees the end of his castle, while the man ignores it. As dusk approaches and the waters and waves near, the child jumps to his feet and begins to clap as the waves wash away his masterpiece. There's no sorrow, no fear, no regret. He is not surprised. He knew this would happen. He smiles, picks up his tools, and begins to walk home with his hand in his father's hand. The man in the office is not very wise like the child. As the wave of years collapse on his empire, he is terrified. He hovers over the sandy monument to protect it. He tries to block the waves for the walls he made. He snarls at the incoming tide. It's my castle, he defies, knowing the ocean we'll take it. The little boy lived in his excitement while building the castle, knowing eventually the waves would remove it. The adult built the castle, but lost his excitement and protected it, even though he knew the waves would remove it. I wonder what the adult would have created if he had simply looked and followed his excitement to a new dream, as one of his dreams was disappearing under the waves. I look back at my life, and I see instances where I did follow my excitement just like a child, especially when I was making my feature film. I was so excited. I could have flown off the planet with all the joy I felt. I was excited when I wrote it. I was excited when I was doing pre-production. I was excited when I was filming it, and I was excited when I edited it. I literally followed my excitement during the entire making of the film. And it is one of the most joyous experiences I've ever had while I've been on this planet. I remember not knowing how I was going to find my locations, but I was so excited to make the film that I didn't worry about it. I knew that they would be revealed, and they were revealed. Every step of making that film was initiated by my excitement, not by my knowing exactly how it was going to happen, but through my excitement and following it every step of the way. My excitement was my guiding torch. I know if you look back into your life, and there may only be one or two times, but if you look back in your life, you will find instances where you followed your excitement. You didn't have all the answers, and maybe you didn't have all the plans. However, your excitement kept you moving forward. And you did not worry that the waves would come and wash it away, because you knew in your heart of hearts it was the excitement that filled your being. The old saying, it's the journey, not the destination, is so true. And kids know this truth. That's why acting like a child is an inspiration. It reminds us all to follow our excitement with no expectations, just joy, and to have faith that your excitement will reveal the most elegant, loving path for you to follow. And to know when one path ends, your excitement will reveal another path. And that is why acting like a child is this month's inspiration. So act like a child and follow your excitement. I'm Jonathan McClung on Spiritual Common Sense.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book, How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live, by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love, by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love, on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Welcome back to Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This month's spiritual homework involves connecting to your imagination. I know we've done this in the past, but we're going to do it again. So why is imagination important to self-love? I believe our imagination is how we connect with our higher self, as well as our guides and angels. The way to get to self-love is by learning about yourself and discovering you're really not alone on this human journey. You really do have everything you need already inside of you. And I believe you can connect to these things through your imagination. That's why imagination is the first chapter in my book, The Heart of the Matter. Because the following chapters, you're going to need to use your imagination, whether it's to heal your inner orphans, to find forgiveness, to release safety nets, to forgive your past behaviors. You're going to need your imagination. That's why in the first chapter, I have you create your safe, loving space. That is so you have a loving space to go to do this inner work, to heal yourself, forgive yourself. You have a safe, loving space that you're enveloped within. So if you have not created this safe, loving inner space, you need to do that first. It can be outdoors or inside a building. Whatever space you want that makes you feel safe and loving. Mine was a grove of trees on top of the mountain with a brook nearby. That felt safe to me. Loving was provided by the animals that would appear. They would greet me. Or the trees would shake their loving golden leaves at me when I passed by them. I was surrounded by love and I felt very safe. If you do no other homework other than creating a safe, loving inner space for yourself, that is more than good enough. Because we all need a safe, loving place to rest our heads, to be nurtured, to be held, and to be loved. And to know that we are completely safe from any and all harm. But let's say you already have a safe, loving inner space. You can use your imagination to connect to your higher self, whether it's through visually seeing them or emotionally feeling them. You can connect to your higher self, and you need to do this. I cannot stress how important this connection to your higher self will become. I've been working on becoming excited each and every day and connecting to joy. At the same time, I've been working extra hours at work so that I can take a long weekend in the future, since summer is my favorite season. When Fridays finally arrive, I'm always exhausted, and I lay down to do a meditation. I wondered if I was going to start to cry, but I was determined to stay connected to excitement, even though I was exhausted. So I stood in my grove, and my higher self suddenly appeared. And rather than running up to me and kissing me all over my face, which she's been doing a lot lately, and which I adore, she ran up to me, threw her arms around me, and held on to me tightly. That let me know immediately it was okay if I needed to cry my anxiety of the week off of me. I was so touched by this unexpected move from my higher self that I just collapsed in her arms and I cried. But I only cried for like 20 seconds. 20 seconds. And then my heart was filled with so much joy of being so loved that I was able to connect to my excitement once again. By using my imagination to connect to my higher self, she let me know it was okay to have a short cry and that I could reconnect to joy and excitement when I was done. But let's say you have a safe, loving space. Let's say you've connected to your higher self and guide. You can use your imagination to connect to love. We all need love. Unfortunately, most of us wait for it to be given to us from other people. But what if you could use your imagination to tap into love at will? When I discovered this during my self-love work, it cracked my heart wide open. To discover that I could use my imagination to connect through visualizations, feelings, and thoughts transformed me. I could be enveloped by an encompassing love, filling my heart and my entire being. I can now find love in 10 seconds just by using my imagination, and so can you. Maybe that's what you should do. But let's say you have a safe, loving inner space. You've connected to your higher self, and you're able to connect to love within yourself. Then let's use your imagination to connect to excitement. If excitement is the key to the most elegant path that we can take to our dreams and desires, then we need to connect to excitement each and every day. We need to be like the little boy in the story in the previous segment. We need to follow our excitement and build our sandcastle with all of our might and all of our joy and all of our excitement. And then, when we're done, we need to clap and walk away, holding no restraint that it must happen exactly as we saw it happen. That is the key to co-creating your reality. Not to hang on to how you think it should happen, but to allow the universe or your higher self to reveal how it should happen, and trusting that how it happens will fill your heart. So use your imagination to give you feelings of excitement and joy. I did this when I was living in New York. I would visualize myself on a film set having the best time in my life. I had no idea how it would happen since I didn't have an agent at the time. But every night when I lay down, I would daydream as I went to sleep being on a film set and having a ball. 6 months later, almost to the day, where did I find myself? I found myself on a set being directed by a dear friend and having the time of my life. So daydream, and don't put any restrictions on what you think can happen, but allow your heart to daydream at the biggest dreams possible and let it fill you with excitement. And when you are full of excitement, bless it, then clap your hands and walk away, knowing in your heart of hearts that the universe and your higher self will reveal at the perfect time what you just dreamed in the most appropriate manner. A little note here, it may not look like anything you dreamed, but it will give you the same feelings of excitement. So this month's spiritual homework is to use your imagination, either to create a safe, loving inner space to rest your weary head, or to connect to your higher self so that you have a buddy always beside you, or to connect to love within you, and you can do this at will, or to connect to the excitement that lives in your heart's dreams. Self-love is about loving yourself, and imagination is a divine gift to us all. We just need to know how to use it to our greatest advantage. I'm Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense, and this is HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic Talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.